Thank you very much, Vlad, for the invitation and the organization and the initiative behind this whole discussion that to me is an important and interesting discussion, and I try to give some indications why I think it is. As I already said in my introduction, I'm coming from theory originally. I'm from philosophy with a wide range of interests. I also studied biology and other fields, so I'm really interested in different types of knowledge production. And I work since a long time in this intersection between art and theory. So this led me finally, after a parcours through different countries and different fields, into this art school. And this might be also important because what I try to do today is to stress one point that maybe has not been discussed so far in this group last time, that is that artistic research as such is not only cooperation between arts and sciences, but there is also a field of artistic research that is much more linked to the arts themselves, and I think this is important to have some kind of idea of these different versions or dimensions. What do I want to tell today or talk about? I would like to contextualize a bit this whole discourse, artistic research, why we are talking about that today. I would like to differentiate between three dimensions that are to me very important to understand how it is working and what is the challenge also for concrete initiatives and also for settings for research. And finally, well, I'd say it's all about research. I will give some more concrete indications that might inspire a little bit of the debate afterwards. So maybe I will introduce some examples, but since we are talking about concrete projects later on, I think my part, and this is what I can contribute, corresponding to what you say, what can you contribute, is this conceptual part. I have tons of examples, because in my research area, I'm aware, I'm going to talk about that later, there is a couple of projects in the whole field, intersection science-art, but also purely art projects. So this might be interesting for the discussion afterwards. A symptom. Why do we talk about artistic research today, since 15 years maybe, but this was the time frame, 15 years I'd say, and before there was not that much discussion on it. If you look at the publications, when publications of artistic research in the title first were published, it's not that long ago. Is it because artistic research is new, or is it because we are focusing on research practices that are not only situated in the sciences or in the academia, and this regard is a new one? So not the phenomenon itself, but the way how we talk about it. I would say we are, and this is a long history behind it that led us so far, we are in a situation where the legitimacy of knowledge production changed. During the whole 20th century already, the question was raised whether or not sciences are able to produce objective knowledge. There was a couple of critical discussions about that. Just a few examples already in the 1930s, the Polish medicine Dr. Ludwig Fleck talked about the social dimension of scientific knowledge production. Then this led over, was taken over by Thomas Kuhn and the paradigm shift theory that he introduced, very much related to Fleck. Then we had people such as Paul Feyerabend, who stressed also with a historical perspective the non-objectivity and linear progress of scientific knowledge, and so far. So we have a long history of critical self-reflection of the objective potential of scientific knowledge production. This is something that came into some kind of normalized consciousness of today's scientific practice. And this is one background of this whole debate, that the sciences are not anymore in a in a position to say, well, what we are doing is knowledge production that is valid and that is objective in a strong sense of the word. This is what I mean. There is also a shift in academia, and the question is now, well, what else happened to push something that finally ended up in this discussion on artistic research? I would say the second ingredient is that art is now beyond this romanticism or also crypto-romanticism, that we have still an ongoing understanding of the arts that is very much linked to this romantic idea of the arts. The art that is the genius creates something, the art that is a specific connection to some kind of different way of understanding the world, but it is a very exclusive thing that is only translated through artworks and through artists that are somehow black boxes in the way they work. This whole understanding of arts that was already in the 20th century taken into consideration and criticized is still a very powerful driver in the location of the function of art today. But since there is a critical discussion, and since the reality of art production is not anymore covered by this idea of romantic art, I'd say we have already a couple of functions of art that are beyond this romantic perspective. And these functions are not only economic functions or pedagogic functions, but are also research functions. So art is seen as something that might lead us to a knowledge that is an important aspect of knowledge in a wider sense, that cannot be contributed or cannot be produced by the sciences. So we have a legitimacy crisis concerning the exclusive legitimacy of knowledge produced by scientific knowledge. We have, at the other hand, a different perspective on the arts. Arts as something, as a practice, or a sum of practices, where different functions are fulfilled, including research functions, and research understood here as production of knowledge through original, or production of original knowledge through explorative practices. This is my definition of research. This is a bit the situation we are in. And I would propose to really situate this discussion on artistic research in this whole dynamics of transformation of knowledge production dynamics. This is the outcome of this first part. Well, then, to look at this discussion, artistic research requires for me three dimensions that has to be taken into consideration. The first one is an epistemic level that leads us to a conceptual approach towards artistic research. And the problem of the discussion, and I'm somehow performing the example of the problem itself, is that this debate has very much been dominated by theorists so far. So we have a lot of production of conceptual work, and we have somehow a non-equilibrated relation between the theoretical parts and the practical, practice, and a catalog of interesting projects that are representing practice as a corresponding dimension to the conceptual part. So I think now we are in a moment where this changes, what is very important. And we should take care that this change does not mean we completely exclude the conceptual part. We should challenge it with practice, but we should not exclude it. It was too dominant, but now it should not be excluded. Therefore, I still do theory on that. epistemic level, well, I would say what's interesting, if you look at artistic research and it's claiming the legitimacy of art as a knowledge productive practice. That is what I just said before. And this is not something new, because if you look in the history of aesthetics as a philosophical discipline, so we are in the 18th century, we have people such as Baumgarten. What he said at this period was that knowledge cannot be exclusively produced through theory and through conceptual work and through notion and through ratio, but it requires at the same time an aesthetic, a senses dimension. And the senses dimension cannot be translated directly into a rational dimension, and it's not theory that is superior to the senses aspect. But the senses aspect is the one that enables us to access to phenomena in the richness of their aspects. And this richness of the aspects alone cannot help, as the conceptual theoretical part alone standing can help. So they have to work together, and they are somehow a complementary relation. This is the starting point of aesthetics. Afterwards, aesthetics was transformed conceptually into a theory of judgment, which is something different, because at this early period it was about perception and the way how we perceive the world and how we can conceptualize explorative access to the world. And I would say what we are discussing now is somehow going back to the early aesthetic debates. We are not doing the same, because Baumgarten cannot be used as such today. There's a lot of metaphysics in it that we would not support today anymore. But from a certain perspective, it's still interesting to see that the awareness of the problem we are talking about today is not new. Same thing as this, let's call it a hypothesis, or also a claim that arts and sciences are somehow in a fruitful mutual transformative dynamics. This is not new. You find this in the history of arts from the very beginning on, that people were not clearly dividing or cutting between the two fields. It's all about research. So I will come back to that, as I said. This is for the first level. So I would say what we need when we are talking about artistic research, when we are talking about this mutual inspiration and also mutual transformation, as I prefer to say, between the arts and the sciences, and the arts and the sciences is just two words that are not working as concepts. They are not the arts and the sciences. There are the sciences that are in general not sciences, but are also humanity. So we are talking about academic way to think and to work. And on the other hand, we have the arts as a very, very, very wide range of different practices. So I'm working in an art school, and my colleagues from the design department, my colleagues from the music department, and I'm in the performing arts department, my colleagues from the fine art department. Well, we love to work together, but we are working in very different ways. And there are parts from academia that are much nearer to parts from arts that then some parts of arts are next to other parts of arts, and some parts of academia are next to other parts of academia. So I think it's very important to be aware of that variety and the necessity to create connections between these fields concerning concrete questions, concerning concrete interests, and to build something up around this potential of being near. Epistemic level, tradition of aesthetics as an interesting source, and complexity of the situation that is there concerning knowledge production strategies. This is the first level. The second level, methodological levels, level practice. So I think as I already said, we had for quite a while in this artistic research discussion during the last years a dominance of theory, and it is important to go beyond that and to focus also on practice. And practice means let's have a look on what people are doing. Not only on projects and putting a project next to a project, but how do people work? And how do people work in academia? And how do people work in the arts? And what are similarities? What are differences? What are the positions and the understandings of methodology? What is a method, by the way? What is the difference between using a method in the sense that I have a disciplinary given framework of methods that I then apply to produce legitimate knowledge, what is in general the normal practice of academia, or is a method what just needs path, something that can only be described afterwards when I already have walked the path, when I made the path. So maybe there is an interesting insight in what's going on. So what I would want to say, let's create a topography of methods and ways to work, a topography of practices. And this is something that, from my point of view, is very important to get a step forward in this whole discussion. And this is also the opportunity from my point of view, to overcome a little bit, I will come back to that later for a minute, to overcome this this schematic separation between arts and sciences. Because when we look at the way how people are doing things, we will easily see that there is a lot of connecting points. And defining these connecting points means also to get some interesting motivation for engaging people and saying, hey, you are working in very similar ways. Maybe it's interesting just to work together around a specific question. Third level, institutional level. I think one cannot exclude the institutional role that is behind the debate on artistic research. There is, at the one hand, a discussion very much pushed by the education, politics, science, academia, politics discussions of the last 20 years. And one of the titles here would be the Bologna process, where you have a reorganization of the university level, where you have a third cycle model, where research is something that is not only part of the universities, but also part of the art schools. And in this context, a debate in the UK that is very well known about practice-led research came into the art field, came to the art schools, where we have now artistic doctorates, where we have a third cycle that is also oriented towards new ways of conceptualizing artistic practices, that very much pushed the discussions from the side of the art schools. So it's not, it's, one should not be, should not neglect that fact that the necessity to define the third cycle for other fields than classical established academia and classical established sciences and humanities led us to a discussion with a question mark, what could that mean, research in other fields than the established disciplines. And this is one kind of basso continuo that you can find in this artistic research debate as one driver. That is very important. The second thing concerning artistic research, what has to be taken into account, and we already discussed this during the first meeting, is that we can see dynamics that are similar to what happens when a new discipline comes up in academia. So we have the first peer-reviewed journals, for instance. We have the first departments that are called like this, mainly the art schools. So I'm part of a research unit, and I'm head of a sub-research unit that has been established a couple of years ago. This is new, but it's clear that the task here is artistic research. It's called like that, and it's financed to do that. And this is a new phenomenon. This has not existed 10 years ago. So this you find all over Europe, well, that countries that are a bit in front of it. Well, Switzerland, Austria, we are quite established already. In Austria, for instance, the science fund, the Austrian Science Fund, started 2009 already, a funding program specifically oriented towards artistic research. It's a program for the development and the exploration of the arts, called like that. And they give 1.6 million a year for projects in this field. In Switzerland, the art schools have now officially the task to do research since a couple of years. You have in the Scandinavian countries already since a while programs oriented towards artistic PhD, for instance, also as some kind of symptom that artistic research became institutionalized. And finally, the second edition now is just being prepared of the Journal for Artistic Research, a peer-reviewed online journal dealing with this topic. I already mentioned this last time, but for those who do not know, it's JAR, G-A-R, and I think it's JARnet or so. And very interesting for those who are interested, this journal is a two-level construction. The first level is an open access research catalog where you can upload your programs and make an exposition of your projects. And this is free to everybody. And you can work in that for yourself first, then you can publish it and you can transform it or finalize it. And then you can, if you want to, but it's not necessary to do it so, you can propose your exposition for the journal in a peer review process. But this research catalog is the first platform where you can really have a look on the variety of projects that are going on in the intersection of art and sciences, but also really artistic practices that define themselves as research. And the exposition has always to somehow to clarify in what sense research here is used as a term. So the way to organize the research catalog is at the same time a way to work on the definition of what research can mean. So just an invitation. I'm a reviewer in this peer-reviewed journal, and so I look at a lot of projects, and it's really interesting to see the variety and also the use or the interesting dynamics that comes up because people claim to be researchers and say what I'm doing with my research in the arts or in cooperation between arts and sciences, this is a specific type of research that enriches the concept of research as such. And the way how I expose my work so that the process and the impact can be visible, experienceable to a reader or a public helps very much to widen up the understanding of what does it mean to produce and to communicate knowledge. So this is a little bit the intention behind this project. To make it short, institutional level, we have clear symptoms from my point of view. Not only that there is a crisis of legitimacy of the exclusiveness of knowledge production by the sciences, we have symptoms not only that the de facto role of the arts cannot be reduced to this classical cliché understanding of romanticism. We have symptoms that the old concept of aesthetics that claims for a complementary understanding of knowledge production in the tension field between senses knowledge and rational knowledge is back on the is again at stake
somehow.
We have a first range of practices where we can see and where we can observe the variety of ways to do research, to understand research, and through this to produce new types of knowledge, new forms of knowledge, original knowledge. To go back to this definition of research as production of original knowledge through explorative practices. And finally, we have a situation where this whole process is already introduced into institutional levels with all the critical aspects of it. So institutionalization, is always also a dangerous thing because it defines criteria, it frames the range of possibilities, and one aspect of artistic research practices so far is that the very strict frameworks of disciplinary research, that is the normal framework for academic research, is a bit pushed beyond these limits. So this subversive aspect of artistic research is always somehow in danger when institutionalization becomes too strong. So there are two sides. On the one hand, we have structure, we have money, and so on. But on the other hand, we always have this danger. Okay, it's all about research. I would say, and this is really just some impulse for discussion, and it's also a bit summing up what I just said. I'd say what is really necessary is that we overcome the rhetoric frontiers between the different fields, the arts, the academia, or the sciences. It's also maybe a proposition to the title of Art and Science Research Forum. I'm part of an expert group of the Volkswagen Foundation in Germany, where we discussed through a couple of meetings with an international group of specialists in the field, what could be a funding program that is really pushing forward knowledge production. And we started, and therefore I was invited also to participate there, we started with an artistic research thing in the title, and after 2-3 meetings, we just said, well, let's skip artistic, let's skip scientific, let's just talk about research. Let's just talk about research in the sense that we need the legitimacy of practices to produce original knowledge that are adequate to the phenomena we are looking at. So this is research. And there is an academic way to do it that is very powerful and very helpful in a certain sense. And there are other ways, and maybe there are phenomena that requires both or different way to understand research. And the problem is not that there is academic research or that there is artistic research. The problem is that we divide it and that we say it must be either or. No, it must be research. Research. And we have to conceptualize a concrete research project due to the needs of the phenomena we want to explore. And there is the richness of the phenomena, as I just cited Baumgarten, that plays a role. But there is also the strictness of a theory that is required to be able to communicate, to share, and to push forward things. And how we situate our specific project depends on the phenomena. So we have, in other words, there is no scientific practice that always is oriented toward theory production without any senses dimension. And there is no senses practice that might be a really purely creative practice, what is a cliche too, but just to make it, to point it a little bit, from an artistic point of view, that has no theoretical part in it. The question is, where at this scale do we situate our things? And what is the definition of research behind? And if we have a wide definition of research, well, then the criteria might might be that we are able to communicate the processes that we are practicing. And I would say this already went into this cultivating difference and differentiation. Well, let's look at specific things. Let's have a wide framework. Let's criticize those strategy of exclusion that are not adequate concerning the idea to cultivate an explorative spirit, what is necessary for any kind of research, and what brings together artists and researchers in academia. They have they share an explorative spirit, and if they do not, they are not good researchers. Even if they apply methods in a brilliant way and according to all disciplinary rules, this is not interesting research if there is no explorative spirit behind it. So it's a range of different ways to focus on something, but it's also the need for explorative spirit. And let's cultivate this difference between the points of view and the ways to do things, and let's cultivate the way how we are in difference, but where we can come together. What are practices? What are interests? What are the connection points? What are types of projects that brings people together? I usually describe it like this, if we are talking about projects that are bringing together arts and technology or arts and sciences. We have an explorative spirit that is a necessary condition. We have people who come from different fields, but they have a question where they think, well, this is an interesting question for both of us. And they come together and they are working on one project. And during this work, there is a mutual transformation of both sides, and therefore a new way to look at the phenomena, to understand it, to conceptualize it, can arise, and then everybody goes back into his field. Maybe transformed, but it's not a mixture where nothing is differentiated anymore. So it's really a way of accepting difference but cultivating difference. Not in a sense of exclusion, but to transform this idea of exclusion into a spirit of complementarity. Attention towards institutionalization. Since I'm running out of time, I don't want to repeat what I already said. Let's say there is a opportunity, there is a potential institutionalization, but there is also a risk. Let's talk about peer-reviewed journals. Is it the best way to copy a system that has been established in academia for artistic research as a proper way to discuss things if we institutionalize it? Or should we talk about other ways to do it? What is about, to use examples from my field of work, my main field of work, theater, dance, film, what is a proper and adequate way to present this? Through a journal, the web, or on stage? I don't know, but we should be attentive to not bring things into professionalism and specialization where this range of possibilities is finally again cut down into very small frameworks, or very poor frameworks, better say. And then finally, I would say doing. Let's do it. Let's do it, and let's be aware of that reflection on doing is necessary here. That the three levels I mentioned, the epistemic level, the methodological level, and the institutional level, has to be thought together and has to be brought together in the doing, in the making. And finally, again, it's all about research. So let's cultivate explorative spirit rather than fighting the battles about the legitimacy of knowledge produced by those actors. Thanks. That's for me.